songs have been well chosen. I'm happy to see you. It's always encouraging to see people come on Wednesday night, and I receive something from it. I've always enjoyed Wednesday night service. I was saved in a church that did not have Wednesday night services. In fact, it did not have services every Sunday. And then a few years after I got saved, I got in a good, strong church, the Second Baptist Church in Roswell, active, and my pastor was Bear Henderson. And boy, we had Wednesday night service, and how I was blessed, how I grew in the Lord, just being able to go to Wednesday night, many times hearing the saints of the Lord share their faith and their testimony, hearing messages by my preacher. And Wednesday night became just a very special time for me. And I know it is for you. And I think people who don't come on Wednesday night, I think they miss something. I think families miss something. I think children miss something when folks do not get involved in the Wednesday evening services. But I'm happy you're here tonight. And I pray that God will do something special in your heart. How many of you have ever heard of a Bible called the Open Bible? Raise your hand. We got one, two, three people, four, five people, six, seven, eight people, nine, 10, 11 that's heard of the Open Bible. Well, I use the Scofield Bible. Both of them, of course, you know this, are King James. I use a Scofield Bible most of the time. I was introduced to a Scofield Bible shortly after I met the Lord and got in the Second Baptist Church in Roswell. I was introduced to the Scofield Bible by a deacon, Brother Judd Kirk. He somehow just saw my need, and he took me under his wing, and he would have Catherine and I over to their home every Tuesday night, and we would have parched peanuts or popcorn, and he'd mentor me. He'd teach me the Bible. And he told me that I needed to get in college, that I needed to study, and shortly thereafter I did. But he was such a blessing to me, and he introduced me to the Scofield Bible. And my preference is the Scofield Bible because I know I've used it so long until in my mind I can picture what side of the page the verse is on. I'm thinking about Romans 8:32 now. I can see in Romans 8:32 that about a fourth of the way down the page, Romans 8 begins. And over to my right is Romans 8:32. And you just become so familiar with it. And I like Scofield's notes. All of them I don't agree with, but I like his notes. And I guess the Scofield Bible is my favorite Bible. But I love the Open Bible. It's kindly bulky. It's large. But I want to share something with you tonight from the Open Bible. I want to share with you a guide for Christian workers. I won't, of course, be able to share very much tonight with you about it. But I have been going over this over and over and over again. It's elementary. But I wonder if the need in most of our churches is not to get back to the elementaries of the faith and really lay hold upon them and renew them in our hearts and really be used of God. So I want to share with you tonight a guide from the Open Bible on Christian workers. This little outline begins with the word commission. Commission. It would be such a blessing if every believer would come to grips with the truth that we have been commissioned by the Lord. And I want you to hear the words of what Jesus said in Matthew 28. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." So our commission is given to us by the Almighty, the all-powerful God. The one who said, all power is mine. All power is given unto me. And I want us to think about this word commission for a moment. Someone wrote these words. Give us a watchword for the hour. A thrilling word, a word of power. A battle cry, a flaming breath. A call to conquest or to death. A word to rouse the church from rest. To heed the master's high behest. The call is given, ye host, arise. The watchword is evangelize. To fallen men, a dying race, make known the gift of gospel grace. The world that now in darkness lies, O church of God, evangelize. I thought that was a good, sobering statement made by the person that put this guide together. And let's talk about and think about this word commission. The word commission can be used as a mandate. It can be used as receiving orders. It can be used as reminding us of our responsibility and our duty and our purpose in life as a Christian. This commission goes like this. In Matthew 28, verse 18 through verse 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, the early church, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. What a commission. What a promise involved in this commission. Jesus said, I am with you. You to whom I am giving this commission, I want you to understand that I am with you. I will be with you until the end of the age. As long as this age remains, Christ said, I'll be with you as you carry out this commission that I've given to you. I heard Dr. Lee Robertson tell the story. He said he was invited to go and preach a meeting in this church up north. He got there, and he said it was a very beautiful complex, very beautiful campus. And Dr. Robertson said that the maintenance person was giving him a tour of the buildings. And he was telling about what this room was for, and this is where the council meets, and this is where we have our meals, and he was giving him a tour. And Dr. Robertson said he walked by the baptistry. And he said the baptistry had become a storage closet for mop buckets and mops and dust brooms and janitorial supplies. And he said he began to talk to the man. And he asked him, how long has it been since y'all baptized? Oh, he said, we very seldom ever baptize. We haven't baptized in over a year. He said, we just receive people now by letter, by statement. And Dr. Robertson went on to tell about how it broke his heart and how he prayed and how he preached that God would help that church to see that they're commissioned to do the job that God wants them to do, evangelize. I like what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. His disciples had asked him about, are you going to restore Israel to its prominence now? Are you going to restore the kingdom here on earth to Israel like you have promised? Has the time come for you to do that? And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the time nor the season, but that's in my Father's hands. And then basically, if I may paraphrase it, in Acts 1:8, this is what he said. And he said, this is what I want you to be concerned about. This is what I want you to lay hold upon. This is the commission that I'm giving to you. And he said, but you early members of the church, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and under the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus said, this is what you are to be concerned with. This is what I am entrusting, and this is what I am mandating to you. This is a commission that I am giving to you, the church. This is what you are to do. And then I like what Ezekiel 33, verse 7 and 8 says from the Old Testament. I think this is applicable to you and I tonight. God said to Ezekiel, speak to Israel. This is the message I want you to give them. O son of man, I have set thee a watchman. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. That is a sobering reminder that God has given us a mandate. A mandate. Who are we responsible for? The question was asked in the book of Genesis by Cain, and he asked this question. In anger, after he had killed his own brother, Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? Am I responsible for my brother? Am I my brother's keeper? And that question has echoed in the spirit and mind of God's people and God's servants down through the millenniums. We are responsible for one another. In the book of Romans, the Word of God says that no man lives to himself. No man dies to himself. There's somebody that you and I are responsible for. There's somebody that God has assigned to our watch, and we have been commissioned. Many years ago, when the Lord put in my heart a burden for missions, I was deeply aware that my little witness was very limited. That I wouldn't be able to go to very many places and share the gospel with people. It's just a fact of life. You can't do that. And one day God showed me what could be done if the church really got burdened for missionaries and missions. Do you realize, and we take sometimes just so lightly, and I don't say this with one ounce of boisterous sensual pride at all, but I'm grateful for this. This little church, this little congregation sitting here tonight, I'm grateful for this, that the sun never sets, now listen to me, on the witness of this church. Somewhere all over this globe, there are men and women that you're having a part in their support. Every month, checks are sent to missionaries who are serving all over this globe. And 24 hours a day, somewhere on this planet, there is a representative of Corinth Baptist Church sharing the wonderful story and the wonderful message of Jesus Christ. Satan would want us to take that lightly. Satan would want us to say, well, that's not very important. Satan would want us to say, well, there's better things we can do. We could enjoy it ourselves, and there's better things we could do. But I say to you, we are responsible. We do have a commission to go and tell people about Jesus. Listen to what our Lord said. Boy, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through verse 16. Jesus said, "You are the salt of this earth." Speaking of believers, you're the salt. You put spiritual flavor to this world. You have a preserving power about you. And he said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted?" I guess the question that God would want me to ask all of us tonight, have we lost some of our salt? Have we lost some of our flavor? Have we lost some of our preserving power? Have we lost that thrust that we are responsible for men and women who do not know the Lord? Jesus said, if the salt has lost its savor, it is therefore good for nothing. And I just want to insert this. I'm so humble when I mention this statement. Do you suppose God may be saying to some of us, you're good for nothing? You suppose God may look upon some of our lives and God says, you're good for nothing. You don't care about others. You never make an effort to reach others. You never share Jesus with others. You never talk to others about Jesus. You never have the burden that we're responsible for others. I wonder if Jesus might say, therefore, you're good for nothing. But to be cast out and trodden on the foot of men, there's a lot of saved people. Now listen to me. There's a lot of saved people whose influence and whose witness is trodden under the foot of men. They've lost respect. They've lost confidence. And their witness, their testimony, their Christian experience is trodden under the foot of men. And then the Lord said, you're the light of the world. Isn't that a sobering statement? Someone said, oh, Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said that he was the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world only through the church. People cannot, and I want to say this very carefully, because God is so powerful and so great and so reflective, but I believe that people can't see Jesus unless they see him through people's lives. I can still see Jesus through the lives of people that influenced me when I was a teenage Christian. I can see Jesus as the light through a lady named Mrs. Riley, who used to sit on the front seat of the Second Baptist Church in Rawlsville. She would sit there. Her face would be aglow. She had her hair up in a ball, and she would sit there and pray for the preacher. I remember those few times that I was invited to speak on a Wednesday night, and then perhaps later I went back and preached a meeting when I began preaching in a church, passing a church. And I can remember her praying. Her face was just, you could read her heart on her face. And oh, what a light she was. What an influence she had in the church. I've seen her go and lay her arms around young ladies and pray with them. And they'd tremble and pray and get saved. What an influence she had. I'm thinking about a man named, I mentioned him earlier in the message tonight, Judd Kirk. What a great man. He sat in his rocking chair and rocked. And he would teach me. And he'd tell me what to watch for. He'd tell me that God wanted to make something out of my life. That God wanted to use me. that God had a purpose and a plan, and he'd sit and teach the Word of God. I can see Jesus in him, Christ shining in him. So Jesus said, you're the light of the world. Listen to this. He said, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. What is he saying? He's saying we'll be put on a hill. We don't have the church off in the backwoods somewhere. We don't become silent that we're part of the church. We don't let the church be 8 or 10 or 12 or 15 in priorities in our life. He said, you are a city. You who know Christ, you who have received this commission from the Lord, he said, you are like a city that is set on a hill. And God wants this church, listen to me. God doesn't want this church to be hidden somewhere off in some little valley. God wants this church to be on a hill, to be set on a hill as a light, a city that shines and burns for him. And you know what you can do? I remember, Brother Foskey may remember this, when I went to the Holy Land, I got to Tel Aviv late in the evening, and we checked through customs, got our baggage, and we got on a bus. And we rode a bus from Tel Aviv, Israel, to the city of Jerusalem. And I was so tired holding that airplane up all the way over there. It's awful. And I was so tired, I was just exhausted. And we started to Jerusalem. And it was about 12:30 in the morning, I suppose. And the driver said, see those lights? And we looked out the windows, and these lights was on this gigantic hill like a mountain. And he said, that's Jerusalem. There's Jerusalem. That's the light of the city. And you could see that city for miles. And that's what Christ is teaching us. We are his children. We are his servants. And he wants us to be on a hill. He wants us to be like a city built on a hill that can be seen by many for many, many miles away. Amen. I want to say something to encourage you. Do you know that we receive from time to time? I meet people and they tell me, I'm from California. New Mexico, and do you know that Corinth Baptist Church is known by people all that great distance? Sometimes last year, I received about 3 or 4 emails from India sent to this church in care of me and asking about this church. They ask about a Bible college. I've received invitations to come and speak in meetings. Come and speak. We'll get a building. We'll get an auditorium. You come and speak. We want you to come. I received the invitation the other day to go to the Philippines. And I think the Lord understands. Those days are probably over for me. I've halfway promised to go to Puerto Rico this year and to go to Montana and preach a meeting. But I think that probably much of that's over for me. And I'm not down. I'm not discouraged. Hey, I'm more encouraged. I'm closer home. I'm about ready to report to headquarters and say it's finished. I'm closer to home. And that's not a statement of discouragement. That's not a statement of despair. But I want to finish my commission. And I want to help others to realize they have a commission. And Jesus said, you are a city that is set on a hill. And then he said, let me give you this example. He said, men do not light a candle and put it under a bushel. God didn't light you to be put under a bushel. God didn't cause the light of His wonderful grace to shine in your heart and to shine in my heart. He didn't save us and give us eternal life to put us under a bushel. But He said, you don't light a candle and then cover it up with a bushel basket or whatever. But He said, you light a candle. What do you do with it? You put it on a candlestick. You put it up high. You put it up where it can be seen. And when you put that light on the candlestick, you know what it'll do? It'll give light to the whole house. Give light to all that are in the house, Jesus said. Isn't that a beautiful illustration? Well, then He said, you don't put your light under a bushel. You put it on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all the house. And then listen to what He said. Let your light so shine before men. And sometimes we very piously say, well, I don't do what I do to be seen of men. I know what people are saying. I know what they're saying. But I've heard people get up and say, well, I'm going to try to sing now, and I don't do this for men, and I'm doing it for the Lord. And then you don't let them sing for 2 or 3 weeks, and they're mean as the devil about it. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men. Let men know that you're who you are. Let them know that you're saved. Let them know that Christ is the love of your heart. Let them know that you're a part of His family. Let them know that. Let your light so shine before men. Now listen to this. That they may see your good works. They may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That's the commission. We've been commissioned to do that. Hopefully, perhaps next week, I'll come back and pick up another responsibility that's in that commission. Several things included in this commission. But tonight, we have received a commission. Let me read to you the statement that I read before we began this lesson. Give us a watchword for the hour, a thrilling word, a word of power, a battle cry, a flaming breath, a call to conquest or to death, a word to rouse the church from rest, to heed the master's high behest. The call is given, ye host, arise. The watchword is evangelize. To fallen men, a dying race, make known the gift of gospel grace. The world that now in darkness lies, O Church of God, O Church of God, evangelize, evangelize. May we ask ourselves this question. How long has it been since we told someone about Jesus? How long has it been since you personally asked someone if they knew the Lord Jesus? How long has it been? May God help us to accept this commission and be faithful to our Lord. It's business meeting, and we're going to have prayer.